a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we try to bring you a wide variety of different ideologies, belief systems, ideas, concepts, anything and everything to stretch your reality. And we try to be your voice, but we also invite you to bring your voice to the show, which means that you can call in and ask questions. You can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. You can also go to the facebook.com/mydrkevin. You can like my Facebook page while you're there. I'm a likable guy. Take my word on it. You will find the write-up about tonight's guest. You will find a place where you can post comments, and if you would prefer to post comments or ask questions, you can do that instead of calling in, and I'm happy to bring those questions on air as long as they're respectful. The only requirement we have on this show is your opinions can change or be different as possible, but we do need you to be respectful. As always, before we introduce tonight's guest, I'm going to talk about my hot topic. And as I bring my hot topic there, we will then invite our guest to come in, comment on the hot topic, and then we will do and then we will get that ball rolling, as we always do, asking him the Dr. Kevin questions. So here is my hot topic. So it just came across my newsfeed this week, the whole thing going on with the Baptist churches and the amount of now coming to the surface sexual abuse that was happening there. That was being kept quiet, ministers were being, church deacons or stuff like this. It's the Baptist version of the Catholic nightmare. So now we have it in the Catholics and we have it in the Baptist. And you know, here on the Dr. Kevin Show, you know, when I choose a hot topic, it either, you know, warms the cockles of my heart or gets me hot and bothered behind the collar. And this obviously gets me hot and bothered. I don't care what anybody's religious belief system is, and I support everybody's religious belief system. I only ask that they support mine. And yet, one of the things that happens is that I find continually that sometimes the most vocally judgmental voices of any religion are the ones that are hiding something, that they're so busy yelling out and condemning and pointing fingers. I, you know, as many of you know or don't or may not be aware of, Dr. Kevin, my doctorate's in divinity. I am actually a reverend doctor. I just go by Dr. Kevin. I have studied the world religions. I have spent time with all of the different religious belief systems. And let me tell you, love and acceptance, you know, doing for other people in need, these exist in all of the original texts. They're part of every religion out there about protecting our children, not molesting them. It's about acceptance, and it's about role modeling your belief system, your ideology, whether that is Islamic or Christian or Judaism, whether it's pagan or Celtic or Buddhist. You're supposed to walk the walk that makes people walk behind you, not scream like a chicken with your head cut off about how horrible other people are. And in this case, we're talking about the Baptist, and I'm not picking on any religion. This story just came up, and it's another opportunity to put it out there. If Christianity is your calling, let it be your calling. That's a wonderful thing. Act in a Christian way. Don't judge. Judge not, yet you be judged. One of the tenets of it. be the kind of person that goes up. I have known some truly Christian people that are out there living the message of love, living the message of acceptance, living the message of good works, and they're doing good works. They're not running around trying to force what they believe on other people. People that may feel lost or may feel like they aren't in connection with a God that works for them, or a religion that doesn't support them, or perhaps they have no belief system at all, they'll go to these people and say, "You seem peaceful, or you seem calm, or you seem loving. I see all of these things. And tell me, how did you get there?" And then they can say, "I got there because I believe this. This is what I know to be true. This is what works for me." And then they will follow you. Then they say, "Well, maybe this will work for me," and they will open-mindedly. I don't think anybody ever truly comes to a religion because they heard somebody at the head of the altar preaching hate, preaching violence sometimes, and then in the back room molesting the children. And then people go, "Why do people have so many issues with religion?" Well, because religion has issues with so many different people. If we are living in a true loving centered place with a positive uplifting connection to God, whatever we choose to call it, and we follow that pathway, we do not have to make ourselves feel good by putting everybody else down, by making everybody else feel bad, by preaching hate. And now we're finding that some of these people that were most preaching against some of these things are doing horrible things and betraying, spiritually abusing their congregants while they're mouthing what are clearly lies. We must look at the actions. The actions are the story. So that's my hot topic today. Again, any religion is okay with me. Be the religion you are. Have the relationship with God that works for you. Live it in your actions. Get off your pulpit. Get off your pedestal. Stop the hypocrisy. And when I hear somebody hide behind any banner, like Christianity, if they hide behind it and preach how holier than thou they are, I'm already suspicious. Anybody that tells me our current president is a devout Christian is walking around with their eyes closed and earplugs in their ears because he constantly demonstrates so many anti-Christian beliefs. We should be loving the people at the borders. We should be going compassionately and helping them. We should be following those messages. And as a Christian, your messages are of love and acceptance and helping people. We hear none of that out of this president. So those are my thoughts. That's my hot topic. Before religion criticizes anybody else, they should be cleaning up their own house. This hot topic is here, and so is tonight's guest. Tonight's guest is Gary Comer. He's a motivational speaker. He's founder of the Soul Whisperer Ministries, discipleship path designer, and best-selling author of Remission, Rethinking How the Church Leaders Create Movement, and Soul Whisperer, Why the Church Must Change Its Views, Change the Way It Views Evangelicalism. I'm not pronouncing that right. I'm pretty sure. But I think I get his name right, so I get a half a point. Yeah. Gary, are you there? Welcome.
I am. Yes, thank you, Kevin. Dr. Kevin, it's nice to be with you and to be with your listeners. And are you interested in hearing a little bit of my take on your hot topic?
always. That's the first thing. I put you on the spot and say, what do you think about our hot topic? I'm sorry I didn't make that clear. Please share with us.
And it's oh my gosh, you know, it's heartbreaking. You know, it's heartbreaking news that comes out from the Houston Chronicle, and man, everybody is crushed. And one of my tweets was mornings of mourning. You know, just to hear the news, and you know, the whole hiding side of it, or the fact that this hadn't come out, you know, is disturbing. I think that there's a broader issue, you know, I would say a wider issue in the church. I do not think it just affects the Baptists. I would say this is something across the board. And when you have an entity that stands for righteousness, and, you know, I'm a Christian, pastor, minister, and, you know, when you stand for certain standards in righteousness, I think one of the things, one of the byproducts of that, and I think that the older generation has carried this in a bigger way than I think some of the younger churches are doing. I think they're bringing a greater level of honesty and openness to talk about their issues and their struggles. Because one of the things that we admit, you know, when a person comes into the faith, is you admit you're a sinner. And sin is something that, you know, I think part of the problem here is leaders need to be open about their sin and their struggles. And if that were to have taken place in these instances, many things could have been cut off and many people could have gotten help, the help that they needed to. I think leaders also have the responsibility to shape that kind of a culture where there is an openness. I think they lead in that, but there is some culture shaping, some new culture shaping that I write about in my new book, Remission. I go after this very subject matter straight on. How do we shape the culture to be a more honest culture? And I honestly believe that it will also help us as we reach out to the world.
Well, you know, there's a... I break it into a couple of categories here, or I have in the past in my show, because obviously these are topics that cycle in and out of a show like mine. And I kind of look at, there are Christian in actions, and then there are the, what I call the bully Christians, who, it was like the minute that Christ stepped off the cross, they broke the cross into four equal pieces, turned them into bats, and started beating everybody else with them. And why do you think that the Christian, that there are large segments, not all, because I look at actions. If you're not walking the walk of Christian behavior, then as far as I'm concerned, either, you know, there's a hypocrisy going on. I mean,
yeah,
we all have things. Go ahead.
Well, there's hypocrisy, and Jesus spoke so much against hypocrisy, and, you know, and I would say to anybody watching this and listening to, you know, the reports here and reading the reports that, you know, that there's always a difference between the words, the actual words that we have from Christ, his example, and then sometimes what we see amongst his fallen followers. Each follower Christ is someone who's admitted to being a sinner, that they have a sin nature. And then there is a power, and Christ brings a power into people's lives. And I think the great majority of Christians are going to testify that their lives have changed, that they have become better people. But the sin nature is not eradicated. And that means the nature there still exists. And there is a daily abiding, a daily surrendering that is needed to walk this walk and to really, truly live the faith. And sometimes that sin nature gets the best of people who were at you know, some times in their life they were really walking, and then they're not. And so this is the kind of thing that happens. This is why I'm saying, Dr. Kevin, just to get this in there, this is why I say if there was greater honesty, on authenticity and an openness about what people are dealing with, and not the pedestal thing that you were talking about, right? The standing up on a pedestal like I'm bigger and greater and better than you, then we could see an entire culture change. We could see more righteousness, because when I check the things that are going on in my life, you see, when I get accountability for those, when I get help, when I seek God over those, when I confess, then there's growth. And there, and so we have, there's a bigger culture issue here that I'm pointing to. I'm not in any way justifying this behavior, which was egregious, and there's standards for leaders. You cross some of these lines and you're out of church leadership. You should be.
But in both cases of Catholics who are Christians, I mean, I always am so amused when people go, well, Catholicism isn't, they're not Christians. Excuse me, they were the original Christians. And the Baptist is, what is in the church culture? And I agree that honesty is always better, but there has to be, you know, you like the word sin. It's not one that I would use from my upbringing and my belief system, but I can respect. If you have a beautiful walk with Jesus and it makes you the best person you're here to be, I am all for that. I think that that's wonderful. But everything that I have ever studied and looked at, and anything that I've ever had in any of those teachings of Jesus, never said anything about forcing what you believe down somebody else's throat. And there's something, and it's not in every church, and I will never say any, all of any, I try to always avoid it. I probably slip up sometimes. I'm human. But, you know, there are some really fabulous people doing out there doing and living and being the principles that Christ taught. And I'm the first one to acknowledge that. But I see a church culture that has become so political that it damages the message. Go ahead. Oh, we're having our first break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and I will let Gary respond to what I said. Gary Kalmer, motivational speaker, founder of Soul Whisper Ministries, and his new book is Remission, Rethinking of the Church Leaders Create Movement.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine. Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to this week's Dr. Kevin Show. We do have a caller, so I want to just remind you, tonight's guest is Gary Comer. He's a motivational speaker, founder of Soul Whisperer Ministries. He's got a couple of books out. His most recent is Remission, Rethinking How the Church Leaders Create Movement. You can also be part of the conversation by calling in at 202-570-7057 or posting your comments on facebook.com/mydrkevin. Gary, you're stirring up. We've already got a caller for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
We have Jenny from New Hampshire. Jenny, welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show.
Hi, Dr. Kevin. I always love listening to you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm calling because I'm a little remiss by commentary that was made by your guest, Gary. I used to be a Sunday school teacher, and I've studied world religions. I've studied world religions in college, in person. I'm Jewish by my own faith, and I have a serious problem with telling people that their only way to Jesus is because they're a sinner, because they're a bad person. Concentrating on the bad of people and propagating that out to people isn't bringing them to a love of God or a love of Christ. It's teaching them that they're bad or they're wrong. And often in the Christian religion, that's utilized as a weapon against same-sex couples and others that have lifestyles that some people don't agree with. They could be the sweetest souls on earth that spend every day of their lives working as emergency medical technicians, saving lives. But people under the guise of the Christian faith will wish them harm. And when you're putting that out there that you only get there through recognizing you're evil, you're bad, you're not bringing out the good in people. You're telling them they're bad. You're cementing that even more. You're giving them an excuse in some cases. Oh, I'm just a sinner, so that's why I did it. You know, Christ will forgive me, so it's okay that I hit my wife. That's what happens. How do you respond to the responsibility of the Christian church to these issues that continue to propagate generation after generation and do not get addressed appropriately?
Gary, well, this question's for you. Yeah. Lucky yeah. you. Go thank, for it.
thank you, Jenny. Thank you. You know what? Yeah. I want to just kind of frame it in a little bit in a sense of my story. I came out of a secular family, military family, who really didn't like, you know, anything to do with the Christian faith. We didn't go as a family. But I eventually got connected with some Christian people who had reached out to me, and I started to attend church, and eventually I ended up coming into my faith and coming to faith in Christ and believing in Him as my Lord and my Savior. Okay, so you know, for us. And for Christians who are looking at what it is that Jesus has revealed and communicated to us, really what we have within the biblical picture, which includes Old Testament to New Testament and background of the Israel and the Jewish people into the New Testament, and really, which I really see it kind of being
I kind of take offense to referring to my Bible as the Old Testament, and I'd ask you to refrain from doing so.
Okay, I can do that. And
it's called the Tanakh.
I'm just using those as normal or regular terminology that we would use.
Normal terminology.
So anyways, but what I am referring to from my particular context is that Christ has revealed himself to the world, and it fits the prophecy that came before and communicated that there was one who was going to come and that he would be a redeemer. And
if you believe that under Scripture, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say anything like that. Jesus says, treat your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says to love everyone. Jesus is known to go towards the prostitute, the sick, the people that you're not supposed to touch, and go there and touch them and love them and show them that kindness, that you are commanded to keep the Sabbath holy. And how to keep the Sabbath holy. There's not a Christian church alive that actually practices how to keep the Sabbath holy the way that God intended it and the way that Jesus Christ himself practiced it as a Jewish man. Because let's not forget he was a Jewish man. But when you go by his words, tell me where in the Scripture Jesus said to you that it's okay to look at somebody else and say, you're a sinner. And you can't come to God unless you get down on your knees and grovel that you're a bad person. And if you're in a same-sex marriage, you're going to burn in hell. Show me where.
I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is that Jesus claimed that he was the Savior and that his life would be given
as
that
he was the Savior and that
atonement.
Burnt offerings, that he was, get it right, that he was the Savior who, because of him, would fulfill the requirements, and there would no longer be a need to do burnt offerings in the temple. That is what Jesus was there for. That is what Jesus spoke of. And he reiterated.
Well, I am the way and the life and the truth. And
he that believeth in me shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm very familiar with Scripture. But nowhere in Scripture does Jesus tell me to dislike judgment.
Well, no one's telling you, and believe me, I've written a book called Soulless Burr that really does, I think.
I've written a book, too. I've been published a number of times. I'm actually awarded, but so what? Anybody can write a book.
We require respectful this. Let people finish their sentence, please. Go ahead, Gary.
I'm just trying to make a point that, part of what I did with Soul Whisper was really capture the mission pattern, the communication pattern of Christ. And I do agree with you. And he was amazing in how he crossed every barrier and how his compassion was so amazing. He touched lepers. He loved people in incredible ways. He reached out across social boundaries, across racial boundaries. He did so much, but the great, great purpose and the great boundary and the great distance that he bridged for humanity, according to the New Testament and the story, is that he came from heaven to earth to give himself as a sacrifice for sinners, for those who needed forgiveness. And so that's the message of the New Testament that is there. I do not see that
that's
as a finger-pointing message,
but when you talk
but a drawing
about
and a loving
the negative
message.
Well, that is, I will agree with you there. Absolutely a strong and loving message. But how does that translate into you're a bad person? You're a sinner, and the only way that you get to be saved is
not a message of you're a bad person, a message of truth about ourselves. If I'm going to grow as a person, if I'm going to grow, then I need to recognize that I need to grow and how I need to change. And so I know in my story, I mean, coming to a place of honesty, my goodness gracious, my life was all over the place. I had done so many horrendous things in my past. And so much self-centeredness, so much that self-indulgence, and all those things were rooted to the fact that at the core of my being, I was I'm a sinner, and so coming to bring that to Jesus and for Him to forgive me and to come into my life, to renew my life, to build my life, that's been the power and the strength and the change of my life. It doesn't mean that I perceive myself as a bad person. I perceive myself as a child of God. I perceive myself as a precious creation. And I would look at everybody in that same way. It's because of that we're God's creation. It's because of the standing that we have before Him that there is such a really esteem for who we are. But that does not take away from the fact that there's a core inner sin reality.
Okay, so I want to dive in here for a second.
Yeah.
I want to dive in here for a second, guys. So I've got a couple of questions. Pardon me. I know I'm rude, but I'm the host. I got a couple of questions here that I'd like to get answered. Jenny, as far as I'm concerned, you can stay on the line for these. I'd like Gary to respond to them first, and then any insights that if you care to bring them in, you're welcome to do so. So the first thing is that I, quote unquote, I am a sinner, and the recognizing of that allows me to then pass my sins to Jesus, and then Jesus has gone through this process which guarantees me my kingdom into heaven. I mean, I know that's a very simple way to say it, but would you say that I basically kind of sort of got the message right, Gary?
Yeah, basically, Jesus dies on your behalf, Kevin, on your behalf, taking the penalty of your sin, absolutely, bearing it, and then He is then gifting you His righteousness. Yes, that's exactly what the Bible teaches.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to go back to one of my earlier statements, which is when somebody chooses to be a Christian, it's a choice and it's a path. And I will not judge that path. It is not mine to say that that path is right or wrong for that person. And if part of being a good Christian is to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that is a concept, a word, an ideology, and that's all good. My question is, if I do not choose to do that path, if I am not a Christian, where does Christianity get a right to tell me that I'm a sinner? It's not my belief system. This is my core issue, that there is a lack of respect for any belief system that's not Christian. I'm okay that you went through this marvelous, heartfelt process. I think that's fabulous, and I would defend your right to my death to have that belief system and to follow that process. But where does Christianity get off judging me and telling me I'm a sinner when I'm not part of your club? I'm not a Christian. I was not raised a Christian. I recognize Christianity. I see some of the beauty of Christianity. But this is the problem, is the forcing that these people get around, that there is this core group of people, and they're quite large in number, that say, well, you're a sinner. No, you don't get, I'm not part of your club. I am not part of your club. And Jesus never taught you to do that, because I may have read more about your club than you did, because I find that there are trite little phrases and an ignoring of huge big messages when it's convenient. So I have no problem with you. Why? Where does this energy in the church come from, this church culture? Because I think this contributes to the hypocrisy. Go.
Yeah, and I would say this, you know, just want to clarify. I mean, my goodness, I've gone to tons and tons of different churches all over the country, and travels and invitations and all that. And, you know, I will tell you, you step into a church today, and chances are you are going to hear a pretty positive, encouraging, uplifting message that's going to be coming to you that's really meant to help your life. And I do agree with Jenny and it, you know, Jesus's compassion and the way he interfaced with people was incredible. One of the great stories in the New Testament is the Samaritan woman, with Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And there's some Jesus, in probing with her, some kind of asking, there's some kind of revelation of her life that she shares, but she never feels judged by him. What she really gets from him is that he's offering her living water. He's offering her something greater than the water that she came to for that well. And that he's wanting to really bless her and benefit her. And it's actually one of the things that I teach in my book, Soul Whisperer, is that Jesus, when he interfaced with people, he interfaced with them about really about the benefits of faith to their life, the benefits of faith. And it's a very broader kind of way to connect. And obviously there was a lot of teaching that Jesus gives, and, you know, there's the kind of the whole, we see the whole New Testament, but his interactions were very positive and they were just relevant to people's life, resonant to their storylines. Sometimes they could be
Gary,
deep
wait,
and profound.
Yeah. Just on that subject, on that example of the Samaritan, why is it then that the church seems to go after people and tends to be the apostles in the back going, how come you're letting them touch you? You should let them touch you. And they're not carrying the message that Jesus was carrying, saying, no, judge them not. They're humans just like you. Love them just the same.
And that's our music saying that we're going into break, so nobody else can hear us now. Hold on. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes and continue this rip-roaring conversation with our guest.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. A new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wound, sir?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. We're on today with author Gary Comer, also founder of the Soul Whisperer Ministries. And you can find out more about Gary or contact him through soulwhispererministries.com. He is the author of a couple of books, Soul Whisperer, Why the Church Must Change the Way It Views Evangelicalism, and Remission, Rethinking How Church Leaders Create Movement. And we're having a lively conversation. Jenny from New Hampshire has called in. Gary's here. I'm here. And I can't remember. The ball was in whose court?
I think it was covered to me.
I made your comment to you, and I'm not sure if the listeners were able to hear it, but in regards to your story about the Good Samaritan, what we also know about that story is that the apostles were right behind Jesus going, how could you? Why would you let somebody touch you like that? It's a sin. It's terrible. You should never do that, because Jewish law, of course, said that it was a sin. Now Jesus taught to love everyone, and he was teaching them that she was a human being, but that her status in life or anything of that nature mattered not. Her human nature is all that mattered, and he was going to love her just the same. So why is it that the church does not teach love all just the same, but instead takes the route of the apostles and the accusatory of you're a sinner, you're bad, you're this, and you have to agree to those terms in order to be saved and earn the right to see God in heaven?
Gary, would you like to respond to that? Because then I have a question.
Yeah. Okay. It's the Samaritan woman story here. There is the Good Samaritan story that's also in the scripture that is really another enormously powerful teaching of Jesus about love and about action and active love, you know, and not about walking on the other side of the road when you see someone in need. You know, again, Jesus kind of breaking down the walls and actually speaking against the religious hypocrisy of his day. And so that was hugely thematic from the words of Christ. If anything, and any of the listeners out there, I tell you, you know, sometimes there's some yucky stuff that can happen, and you might see some stuff in the headlines like this other thing. But boy, I tell you, you take a really good look at Jesus, and there is not a more compelling and attractive person who's ever walked the planet. And I would encourage you
to take that
look.
Gary, I got to call you out on this. You're dodging me. We're both agreeing on what Jesus's message was, but what I'm that it appears as if the message of the church is that the apostles were speaking of, not that of Jesus.
That the apostles were speaking of as far as a message. You see, my feeling is the
aspect instead of loving the human being.
I think that loving the human being is where all churches are focusing. I'm not saying that there is not trouble and problems. What I am saying is that if you are to go into the great bulk of churches today, you are going to see people to love others and who want to love others.
I would beg to differ. The Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church calls me a Christ killer and believes that I'm evil incarnate simply for being born a Jew. So I don't believe that all Christian churches are going to view me that way. I'm also aware that some Christian churches would want
to
burn me for having a girlfriend, because I have a girlfriend. Now, what would you say to me are you say, would you say that I'm going to burn in hell because I choose to have a woman in my life?
Well, I would never say that to anyone. And so, you know, that's not really where I'm embracing any kind of relationship. And I have my gay friends as well. And I, you know, there's the principle, the beautiful principle of honor and respect to all people that I believe that we practice. It does not mean that we have the same beliefs about relationships or about everything. There can be differences there, but love should be first and foremost. And so I would just say, I'm sorry, Jenny, to hear that you got that kind of, any of that kind of message is, you know, I'm sorry that you got that. I would hope that you would only receive, you know, love it and kindness from people, even though there may be differences in convictions. And, you know, the difference in convictions is going to be there based upon what people believe regarding
convictions to make somebody else feel wrong.
I'm saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's wrong to abuse that.
In your teachings, you teach the positive side is what you're saying, and you're not going to teach the negative. Is that what you're saying? You're not going to you're bad. You have to, you know, grovel and beg and admit you're bad in order to make it to heaven.
No, I look at sin as something that God sees as a problem that he is dealing with in our lives. And so the recognition of it, of recognizing whatever that is in our life, and a lot of times sin is our own selfishness, you know, it's attitude, it's different things that we ourselves even notice that are harmful to us. Well, God wants to work in our lives. And the first thing he wants more than anything else, Jenny, is a relationship. He wants to know you. He wants that personal relationship. And he calls all people to believe in him. He did not make a massive list of all these things that you have to do and have to live up to. What he says is, come to me. And he then works out things in our lives. I don't try to work out all the things that God is going to work out in their lives. I just want to see them come to a place where their hearts would be open to him and that they would surrender themselves to him. Yes, there is some level of a confession that happens to a person turning to Jesus. And yes, that's a part of what I believe is passed down and what Jesus taught. But I think it's all for good. I think it's all for growth. I think it's all in that line. And it's really, in a way, calling out the best of everyone. And so I think we're all different. I think we have different types of struggles and sins. I think God's aware of those. But he wants a relationship, and out of a relationship flows his love and flows what he wants to bring.
So it's interesting, because I want to share something, and then I have a question for you, Gary. The first thing is that I think that it's important for our listeners to know that no two Christian churches are alike, and some are out there living a Christian value and promoting a Christian message, and there are those that are not. And I say that based on their actions. I think of Westboro Baptist Church. That's not the actions of Jesus, to go protest somebody's funeral or to cause problems or to, make the kind of,
you're right,
of painful, hurtful scenes. Because one says one is Christian, one is not, does not mean that one is. Because a church says it's a Christian church does not mean that it is. I always remember going into down in the Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia Beach area I think it was Hampton, actually, and going by this little stretch of road, and there was like five or six Christian churches, and each message on the board was why they were the only one and the other five were false Christians. Every one of them. And I looked and I'm like, there's not a Christian among you. Not in action. Not in action at all. If somebody is drawn to Christianity, if they feel like Jesus speaks to their heart and is alive within them, then they want to find a Christian church by sitting in the pew and listen to what are the messages from that. Are there messages of hope and inspiration and love and service and changing the world? Or is it fire and brimstone? And there are as many fire and brimstone churches still out there, Gary. People who are favorite punching bags of theirs, and I fall into a couple categories, so I am as well as Jenny. We know about those churches, and you can't be blind to them. They literally give Christianity a bad name. But not all Christians are bad, yeah. Just like not all Buddhists are bad. My issue has always been, I'm okay with you being Christian. Would you please be okay with me not? That's all I ask. I ask you stop feeling like you get to judge me because I have chosen a different path to God. And my path to God is as real to me as yours is to you. And that's where the hypocrisy comes in. Jesus never said convert by the sword.
Yeah. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And I want to point out one aspect of more about Jesus as well as remember he practiced the Jewish faith, and he was taught that you teach people, and he taught people, but you didn't shove it at them. You'll never see Jews out on the corner going, "Are you Jewish? You want to hear about Hashem? Come here, let me teach you about Hanukkah." You don't hear that because we don't do that. What we do is say our door is open, and if you wish to come in, you're welcome. And if somebody chooses conversion, we say they were always a Jew in their heart. They just came to conversion. That's how we look at it. And it's a beautiful way of looking at it. And a Jew is a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're strict from or you're slightly observant or you only show up on the high holidays. You're still a Jew. Christianity as a whole seems to... You know, at one point it says, oh, we're going to love everybody. But then there are categories of people that it says, no, if you're this person, you're going to go to hell. You're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to be accepted. And those are the churches that you need to be, if you're going to be out there pushing the message of Christ, push it from that place of love and stop going on the consistent message of nobody can come to Jesus unless they come through sin. You have to realize you're bad before you can come to Jesus. I don't believe that's true.
So, Gary, this is my question I have for you, and because I know that at any point music could start in the next two to three minutes.
Yeah.
If Jesus were alive today, and this is your view from somebody who's written a couple Christian books, are out there working with Christians, and I have to say I agree with Jenny, I would really love to have you go teach Christianity to all of the hypocritical Christian churches. I would happy dance, because Christianity in its purest form is such a loving religion, a belief system. And I will always acknowledge that, even if I don't believe personally Agreed. That it is my only way to heaven. But my question is, Jesus shows up today. He walks and he shows up at our southern border. Does he say build a wall? Or does he say, open the doors and let's find a place for these people?
Oh, he says, open the doors and let's find a place for these people. So, yeah.
Why do you think there are some major, major Christians backing the wall? Isn't that in of itself a kind of hypocrisy?
Well, I think that the message of compassion and welcoming, you know, our neighbor and loving our neighbor is Christ's direct words, and so we have this you know, what I would call a preeminent call. It surpasses all to love and to be about love. Obviously, there are you know, the political side of this things and some of the, the debate about security and all that. I mean, all that's out there. I know there's different points of view. I know people have different views on it. You know, as soon as you get into the politics. Well, you see, my view is that
question
Christians
was very
are
simple.
Too political.
Would Jesus,
Jesus
want the wall, then why are you not agreeing with Dr. Kevin and saying, I agree with you, and the Christians that are saying build the wall and keep the people out are wrong? Why not simply admit they're wrong?
Well, I did say that I agree with
no, you
Kevin.
Did not.
And well,
yeah, you did. I heard it. No, he did.
I did.
He actually did.
I
apologize.
Okay. So,
Gary
but,
did.
But yeah, but the big thing really is that the political side is really not the primary and the preeminent call of the church. And so, to me, everybody participates in the political system. But to me, there's something that's greater, and it's the kingdom of God. And so I look at things as a kingdom-minded Christian. I look at things as you know, how would Jesus want to love this world? How can we love this world? How can we embrace our world? And
so
and,
let me ask
and
you
how
this
can
question.
We bring his message to this world?
Okay.
And but, and so, so those types of things are different. And
we're out of time. The music is coming.
To some different places. Yeah.
Gary, you'll have to come back unless you feel like you don't want to. You'll have to come back, and we'll have to continue some of these conversations.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Thank you. Denny, nice to connect with you.
And God bless you. I truly do mean that.
Yeah, God bless you too, Jenny.